Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am here. And thank you, Mr. Welch, for that introduction. In this lecture, you, the listener, can expect to be informed of major passages in the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, dealing with the enslavement era and the plaintiff and his line of complaint. I will also trace the faith of black people. So let us begin. One major passage that deals with issues of the enslavement era, and it also serves as, it can serve as a summary of the complaint set forth by the plaintiff. That is Isaiah chapter 53. I say it is a major passage dealing with that which I have said because of its many verses concerning or regarding the enslavement era and the attitude of the Gentile to it, the servant, the slave. The slave being taken from Africa, taken from his homeland, and afflicted, suffering many things set forth by the Vatican and actually what you might call exercised by the Gentiles. Now it says, who hath believed our report? That's how Isaiah 53 begins. What report? The plaintiff's complaint. All of the statements making up the complaint can be seen as a report. Of course, this is not the only report in the Bible, but that is the one that we are dealing with. That is the issue at hand today. Who has believed the report? The report is this, simply, that the Gentiles, at the word of the papacy, invaded Africa, conquered Africa and its inhabitants, enslaved its inhabitants, scattered its inhabitants, and did many other hateful and evil things, committing many abominations against those of African descent. Verse 2 says this, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That is the attitude they are to have, they, the Gentiles, are to have with regard to black people. When we shall see him, to him might be a her also. That doesn't matter, but when we shall see the African, when we shall see the black person, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We should not desire him in our neighborhoods. We shall not desire him in our social activities, etc. We should not desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, the plaintiff in his complaint has said that he is despised. So this statement is an answer from the defendant being those of the Vatican and all other Gentiles. Their answer says he is despised and rejected of men, keeping in mind that the black people were removed from the classification of Homo sapiens by the Vatican and put in a classification of things that can be bought and sold, merchandise. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The characterization of the plaintiff's complaint. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. This is a confession. Surely he hath borne our, those of the Vatican and all of the Gentiles, griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about a people whose peoplehood was taken away. He was wounded. The plaintiff complains in his complaint that he was wounded. And remember, when we speak of the plaintiff in the singular, it is also indicative of the whole of black people. He was wounded, they were wounded. He was afflicted, all black people were afflicted by the papacy and the Gentiles. they were afflicted by the curse, set down by the papacy. They were afflicted by enslaved, being enslaved, enslavement, slavery. They were afflicted. They were despised and rejected of men, and the men there being in verse 3, a reference to Gentiles. He was wounded because of the Gentiles' transgressions, verse 5, Isaiah 53. He was bruised for the Gentiles' iniquity. Or he was bruised because of the Gentile iniquity. Verse 7, Isaiah 53. The plaintiff complains of being oppressed. He was oppressed. And let me say this. You can hear the information dealing with the pleadings, the complaints set forth by the plaintiff, and the answer of the defendants, those are the papacy and the Gentiles, in last week's episode. You can read the list of pleadings, or you can read the pleadings there from by getting a download of the program last week, or listening, you know, from your computer. He was oppressed. That's the answer. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I lectured on the slaughter. And you can check out that episode. That episode has the slaughter in its title. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was afflicted, I said, you know, with enslavement, with being taken from his homeland, scattered about, etc. He openeth not his mouth. Verse 9 says, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, Lord, there is a reference to those of the papacy. It pleased those of the papacy to bruise the slaves, bruise them by beating them, bruise them by marking them, putting a mark of the papacy on their forehead. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Let's see here. Okay. Verse 12 says he was numbered. Okay, that's a reference. That's in regard to reference to the mark that all slaves bore. So, chapter 53 of Isaiah can be regarded as a summary. A summary statement on the in regard to the enslavers and the enslaved. Summary statement. Mr. Welch, at this time we can hear the announcements, and afterwards I will bring forth a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It also may be regarded as a summary statement, as making a summary statement in regard to those who enslaved the black people and in regard to the black people themselves. Mr. Welch, are you ready with the announcements?
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. Again, youtube.com/Law of Gods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. And considering major statements on the enslavement era, major statements having to do with the Gentile enslavement, conquest of black people, and the statements having to do with the plaintiff and his complaint, summarizing Isaiah 53, we see that we have confirmational statements regarding the Gentiles, despite a rejection of those they enslaved, the slaves being grieved, having sorrows, being stricken, being smitten and afflicted, being bruised, being wounded, being oppressed, and even being slaughtered. There was a great slaughter of African people by those of the Vatican and the Gentiles. There was a great slaughter. Look up that episode. Slaughter is in its title. All right. Now I want to take a look at Deuteronomy 29. And just look and see some things having to do with that era of the enslavement, and that having to do with black people, and of course, that having to do with Gentiles as well. Deuteronomy 28:62, ye shall be left few in number. That was of major importance as the enslavement era, you know, approached its end. What to do with the slaves? They were tossed, they were driven, they were put out, cast out of lands, other lands taking them up. Ye shall be left few in number. They were slaughtered. Look at verse 63, Deuteronomy 28. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. There is not a major black power on the face of the earth. Isn't that something? The Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, black people, Africans, and to bring you to naught. Ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess. Now let's say this. What is truth? Black people were plucked from off their own homeland. Okay? Listen, verse 24, Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people. Black people were scattered among the nations of the Gentiles. Listen, there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. How can black people say that Africans believed in Jesus before the Gentile conquest? That's not so. And these, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The slaves had a heavy burden there. They bore a heavy burden. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee 24 hours a day. The slaves didn't know if they'll be alive the next moment, I guess. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night. Now, let me move on. Thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Now, he's already despised, he's already rejected. Now he has fear day and night. He doesn't have rest. He's trembling, especially whenever he's in the presence of a Gentile, young, old man, woman, boy, girl, child, it doesn't matter. Trembling. Fear. Quaking. Scared. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening, even, and at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Verse 68, listen. Ye shall be sold to your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. Sold to your enemies. Who sold the Africans into slavery to the Gentiles? The papacy did. Those are the papacy. The papacy sold Africans to the Gentiles for bondmen and bondwomen. All right. Have a look at a few things in Deuteronomy 28. Another major chapter dealing with the enslavement of black people by those of the papacy and the Gentiles. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. These things can serve as, these chapters here can, that I go over can serve as summary chapters, a summary of Gentile attitudes and doings, attitudes to it, and doings to or against black people. 1 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 9. Now, this is a complaint of the plaintiff. We are made a spectacle to the world. It says, goes on to say, and to angels and to men. We are made a spectacle. What is a spectacle? A spectacle is a public show or exhibition on a grand scale. Ezekiel 28, I believe it is, deals with that. Yes. Ezekiel 28. Let's see here. 27. Ezekiel 27. Where it says in Ezekiel 27, verse 13, they traded the persons of men. They traded African people. They, the Gentiles, traded. They bought and sold African people. They bought and sold black people. At the end of verse 12, Ezekiel 27, they traded in thy fairs. You know the fairs. They still have fairs. Even the world's, the world fair. They were made a spectacle at the fairs. Not only at the fairs were they made spectacles. It was kind of like a way of life for the slave to be made a spectacle. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 4. We are weak. Another part of the complaint, plaintiff's complaint. We are weak. We black people are weak. We slaves are weak. Ye are strong. The Gentiles are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. There's the complaint. We are weak, we are despised. And we spoke about that when I spoke on, Isaiah 53. He is despised. He was despised and rejected of men. Okay? So there we have it again. We are weak, we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. And notice the statements beginning with the word we in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are weak. We are despised. We both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted, beaten, and have no certain dwelling place. Isn't that the life of the slave? Aren't these things characteristic of black people when we were slaves to the Gentiles? The Gentiles acting at the word of the papacy, those of the papacy, whom they called Lord. That said quite a bit. We are weak. One, we are despised. Two, we both hunger and thirst. Three, and are naked. Four, and are buffeted. Five, and have no certain dwelling place. Six things there. Verse 12, and labor, working with our own hands. Now, in his complaint elsewhere, they have said, that they labor and have no rest. Okay, so remember that. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, being persecuted, another word for oppressed, Isaiah 53. He was oppressed, they were oppressed, black people were oppressed, being persecuted, we suffered it. The Gentiles allowed it, the papacy allowed it by law. And the slaves endured it. We suffered it. Being defamed, and what does that mean? Defamed means to attack or injure the reputation or honor of by false and malicious statements. It means to malign, to slander, to libel. Okay? Slaves were defamed. One such example in the Bible, in this authorized version Bible I have, is found in Revelation 18, which is the law that was in effect during the course of the enslavement era, beginning with Revelation 18:12 through verse 13, wherein the papacy shows and reclassifies black people as merchandise, things that are bought and sold. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold, silver, etc., etc. Verse 13, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, things that are bought and sold. Things bought and sold. That's defamatory. It is also libelous. That's a libelous statement. It puts black people in a bad light, shows black people in a bad light. That is a libelous statement against black people. Okay. Being defamed, we entreat. They make an earnest appeal to God. Being defamed, we entreat. Listen, we, black people, slaves, are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things to this day. A summary statement regarding those who were taken from their homeland. And keep this in mind, black people were slaves in their own homeland as well. Okay. The Gentiles took over Africa. They took control. They took over. They took took to their own possession that which did not belong to them rightfully, but that which belonged to the black people they enslaved. These things are in the Bible. I fit the statement to the people. Because each one of those things that I read, we are weak, we are despised. We hunger and thirst, we are naked and buffeted. Now, keep in mind, I have also an episode that deals with the clothing of the slaves, which was sackcloth, cheap, worthless material. We are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place. No certain dwelling place. Slaves could not call any place where they were, where they worked for someone, some Gentile or Gentiles, they could not call any place their home. They were subject to be taken and moved, sold to someone living elsewhere. It could be out of the country. It could be in another country. They had no certain dwelling. We have no certain dwelling place. We labor. We work with our own hands, being reviled, being persecuted, being defamed, and being made as the filth of the world. Wow. All these things are in the Bible. Each one of those things is characteristic of the slave. Each one. So what is truth? The plaintiff's complaint is truth. Truth is that which is that which is which actually takes place in life, that which actually happens, that which actually is, that which actually takes place, that is truth. Those things are truth with regard to the slave. Okay, and now what is left is not just a chapter, but a book. A book. And that book speaks of certain, it speaks to regard to certain things. It speaks to black people, how their faith was developed, from whom it was gotten. It speaks of persecution. It speaks of tribulation. It speaks of labor being in vain. It speaks of labor and travail. It speaks of laboring night and day. It speaks of the slaves being shamefully entreated. It speaks so much. It speaks so much. What is that book? We shall see after these announcements. Mr. Welch. Mr. Welch, are you there? He's away from the mic, so we shall continue. The book is 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And I begin with 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. The Holy Ghost, 1 verse 5. It says, our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now the question is, whose gospel came to who? The Gentiles brought their, quote, gospel, unquote, to black people, starting during the enslavement era. And let me say this, I do not believe that the Gentiles sent missionaries into Africa at first. And then, you know, later on, other people began to come. The army came into Africa and all like that. I believe that the papacy sent the armies of the Gentiles into Africa first. Just as simple as that. The armies went in, conquered the land, captured the people, put them in captivity and all. That's what I believe. Okay? But their gospel came to, they brought their gospel. This was after they were captured, okay? After the capturing, after the enslaving, then they brought their so-called gospel, or what they call gospel, to the black people. In the Holy Ghost, as concerns the Holy Ghost. Black people did not discover the Holy Ghost on their own. They were told about the Holy Ghost, and they were told that the Holy Ghost is a person. They have a statement in Matthew 28 that says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The question is, what is the Holy Ghost? They teach in religion the Holy Ghost is a person. So the Holy Ghost in the Bible is not a person. The Holy Ghost in the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, also called King James Version, is an emotion. It is the emotion of intense fear. Intense fear. The fear that slaves had of the Gentiles, of their slave master, or any Gentile for that matter. Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost in the Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, is the secret word for intense fear. It is not a person. They tell so many lies in religion. Mr. Welch, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, may we have the announcement at this time, please?
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website, lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half-millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
Okay, I'm back with you. And we have entered into a little book, First Thessalonians. This information is so real, it's so important. It really adds to your faith. Or you could say it takes away from your faith and adds something else. It tears down your faith and gives in return something else. Something that is better. Okay, we have Noah. Okay. We can get Noah under control. Alright, so I left off speaking about the Holy Ghost, saying that the Holy Ghost is not a person. The Holy Ghost in the AVD Bible, in the AVD, is an emotion, and that emotion is of intense fear. Often, and especially in the New Testament, keep the word Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is intense fear. The Holy Ghost is not a person. That's why we need someone who has thorough, accurate, precise knowledge of Bible content. It's needed. And I give precise knowledge. And that knowledge has come from now 39 years of scrutiny and analysis of the content of the Authorized Version Bible. 39 years now. So, Holy Ghost, we continue. And as I've said before, keep up with the teaching. Let's move on. The question comes up, who follows, who is to follow who? coming, approaching the end of the enslavement era, and that's what the Bible does. It takes us back to the days of conquest, Gentile conquest of Africa, and take over all this land and its people, kept its people into captivity, enslavement. It takes us back to those days. And anyone who does not know that, then that person or those persons do not understand Bible content. They don't know what the Bible is about. It is evident in the many episodes of Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast that the Bible deals through and through the issue of that, what I've just stated, the Gentile conquest and takeover of Africa and its inhabitants. And the religion, of course, does not teach anything having to do with that. Religion teaches lies, okay? It teaches lies, and that's just the truth of the matter. For religion is an enemy of God. The Gentiles' religion is an enemy of God. Okay, first, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Who is the ye and who is us? Ye, black people, became followers of us, Gentiles, and of the Lord. Those are the papacy. Having received the word in much affliction. Now, you have heard enough from me to know that affliction in the Bible deals with the Gentiles' affliction of black. Okay? That word is in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Black people became followers of the Gentiles and of those of the papacy, having received word in much affliction. What does that mean, in much affliction? The black people were in a condition of affliction. They were in servitude. They were enslaved. They were oppressed and persecuted. Okay. That is the affliction spoken of there in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. With information, everything is important. Everything is important. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. That's what Lord is a reference to there. Having received the word in much affliction during the time while you were in servitude, during the time you were in captivity, enslavement, with joy of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a spiritual being. The Holy Ghost is not a person. Again, I say the Holy Ghost in this Bible I have, the AV Bible, is a reference to intense fear. Much affliction, intense fear. Okay. You became followers of us. 2:14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 2, 2. We were shamefully entreated. Now, the statement actually reads, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. But we were shamefully entreated of the Gentiles. Okay? Entreat means make. Okay, an earnest appeal to God. Okay, here, word entreat means to, they were behaved, the Gentiles behaved shamefully, or shameful. We have suffered before, who has done suffering, black people, and were shamefully entreated, dealt with, or just treated. Okay. we were treated shamefully. Now, Ephesians makes a statement about that. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Those things that are done of them in secret, I am making known to you through this, through the many episodes of this Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. Okay. First of all, in letting you know that the Bible is a law book, and then letting you know that the crucial matter of Bible content deals with the Gentiles' treatment of slaves. Okay? Now, the Gentiles make the argument we might have been burdensome. As it might have. That's Thessalonians 6. The Gentiles say to the black people, we might have been burdensome. No, there's no might of it. They were very burdensome in their working the black people, working the slaves. The slaves were burdened by many things. They were afflicted. That's why they use that word, afflicted, or burdened by the Gentiles. But the root of that burdensome is found in the papacy. He sets down the orders, puts down the orders, gives them to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles carry out those orders. They were burdensome to the black people, who the Gentiles called, started as slaves, and they treated them shamefully. Means disgracefully, very bad, in other words. Might have been burdensome. We were gentle among you. Now, they were gentle among the slaves. Now, these things here in 1 Thessalonians have to do with the Gentiles bringing or giving to the black people the faith of. Okay? We were gentle among you. See this statement right here in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 3. Now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, that is the intent of the Gentiles, those of the papists, that people have good remembrance of them. How can black people have good remembrance of them with so much information that I'm bringing forth? How can you have good remembrance? The descendants of slaves, the slaves, number one, didn't have good remembrance of their slave masters. They were burdened terribly. They were shamefully treated, spitefully treated. What did we read in Isaiah 53? They are despised. They are oppressed. When we see them, there is no beauty that we should desire them. And now, Gentiles want the black people to have good remembrance of them. How can that be? I put forth the question, how can that be? And I see our time is running out for the screening here. Listen, in chapter 2, verse 15. Endeavor the more abundantly see your faith with great desire. This we have in 2:6, desiring at the end of verse 6, chapter 3, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. That is in direct opposition to that which Isaiah 53 says, that when we shall see him, or the slave, or the black person, he or she, it doesn't matter, there is no beauty that we should desire him, the slave, that's the him. okay, male or female. There is no beauty that we should lack. And then they speak about, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. And in First Thessalonians 2:17, and in First Thessalonians 3:6, desiring greatly to see us as we, the Gentiles, also to see you, the black people. Okay, now back to chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Okay, the black people, the voice of the black people. You remember, and calling the Gentiles brethren, our labor and travail. Or that brother could be to black people. You remember, black people, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day. There we have it again. Labor, travail, hard toil, laboring night and day. Okay. Now the Gentiles say this in chapter 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. You received the word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Okay, go back to 1 Thess 1:6. You became followers of us. Go to Thess 2:14. Ye became followers of the churches of God. Go to 1 Thess 4:1. As ye have received us, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk. Okay, so what has happened? Let's see what has happened. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:11. Black people became followers of the churches of God, black people, and that God being a reference to the papacy, those are the papacy, okay? The churches of God, the churches of the papacy. And black people having received, having become followers of the Gentiles, black people having become followers of the churches of the Gentiles, 1 Corinthians 15:11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, here's the punchline, so we preach and so you believe. So we preach and so ye black people believe. So we, the Gentiles, preached and so ye, the black people, believed. Okay? What did they preach? Let's go to Acts 17:3. What did the Gentiles preach to the black people? Acts 17:3. Okay, they preach this to black people. This Jesus I preach to you is Christ. They preach to the black people, Jesus is Christ. So we preach, and so you black people believe. Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2. But the word preached did not profit them. Do you see that? It's, you might say almost in the middle of verse 2. Of Hebrews chapter 4, the word preached did not profit them. They preached to the black people. They, the Gentiles, preached to black people as they do today. Jesus is Christ, and they say, so we preach, so you believe. But the word preached to the black people did not profit them. Let me give you an example of that, not profiting them. the word preached to black people and the word that black people now preach to even to themselves did not profit them. They did not come into the truth of Bible content. They did not come into the truth of Bible content. The word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was a lie. Jesus is not the Christ. They admit in Scripture that that's what they preach to the black people, that Jesus, this Jesus whom they preach, is Christ. And as they preach Jesus, so the black people believed, and they believe up to this present day, the masses of them. The word preach did not profit. Matter of fact, the word preached to them, this Jesus thing, and may have very well put them on a course that leads to further decline, because I've already stated that religion, that what they teach in religion, is one, false, and that religion itself is the enemy of God. And the papacy denounces the Gentiles' religion in the book of James. It says that religion is vain, worthless. The word preached did not profit them. Now, just because you say Jesus has done great things for you, that doesn't mean Jesus has done anything. But Jesus is a fictitious character in the AVB. Not only is he a fictitious character, he is a criminal character in the AVB. He is one who breaks laws. What is a criminal? A criminal is one who breaks laws. Okay? The word preached did not profit them. Black people may think that they go to heaven when they die. They don't know that they're already in heaven. Okay? No profit after death. No profit on earth. No profit after death. The word preached did not profit them. The Gentiles have admitted that they preach Jesus to the black people. Now, we know that they preach Jesus not only to the black people, but to other people as well. What we are concerned with here with Bible content is black people and Gentile relations. Okay? And that is what First Thessalonians here is talking about and speaking of, the relationship that the Gentiles wanted to develop with the slaves on the eve of their freedom. On the eve of their emancipation, they had to get them ready, had to prepare them for a life of freedom, a life without chains, a life without fetters, had to prepare them. So that, as 1 Thessalonians 3:6 says, that black people would have good remembrance of them always and not see all of this truth in the Bible. And when I say truth, I mean all of the actual things, all the things that actually happened that are in the Bible, and those things have to do with Gentiles' mistreatment of black people. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Listen, 1 Thessalonians 3:11 says, our labor. Let me think before I go any further. Let's finish that. So what have I shown? I have shown, one, from the book of 1 Thessalonians and with other references, that the Gentiles taught the black people that faith concerning Jesus that they have, the masters of them. The Gentiles taught it to them. It is not true, but that's what they taught. They admit to teaching it, you know, in the Bible. and they confess that it is without profit. There's no profit in it. If it is unprofitable, if it's unprofitable, if it is unprofitable, then it is worthless. The word preach did not profit them. That means that which was preached to black people and that which black people have received, they received it as the word of God. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. They received it as the word of God. But that word was not true, and that word did not profit them, the black people. And it clearly shows here the three verses that I gave, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, that belief, whatever it is that we have, that black people have, that it came from those who enslaved them. It came from their captors. It came from their persecutors. It came from their oppressors. It came from those who were taught and were under law to despise them. And they, the Gentiles, gave them a false belief and a false hope. Those black people, having the faith of Jesus, believe Jesus is coming back again. And Jesus is not coming back again. Jesus hasn't come the first time, because Jesus is a fictitious character in the AVB. Notice, they preach Jesus. They do not preach the law or any of these things that I teach. And all of these things that I teach come from the Bible. Now, if I can see these things in the Bible, that means you can see these things in the Bible, especially with me pointing them out. But if I can see them, you can see them. Who has suffered all the afflictions that I have spoken of today or in past episodes? Who has suffered those things in real life? Black people have. We all know that. Now, if we all know that, then why am I the only one openly teaching these things? And those hung up in religion are teaching things contrary to the things I teach. And that which they get cannot be supported with content of the Authorized Version Bible. Because if you say Jesus is a righteous individual, that cannot be proved with Bible content. Okay? You cannot take one statement and make a case of it. If you notice, my conclusions are based on many statements that give a good, clear picture of that in question or that being spoken about. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and wrap this up. We see the complaint of the plaintiff, and you've heard me speak before of the judgment of God. The judgment of God is the end of evil. Now, what evil is spoken of in that statement? The evil that we have looked at, the evil that I have set forth before you, the evil, the mistreatment of the Gentiles and those of the papacy with regard to black people, the evil of the curse that have that was set down by the papacy and given to the Gentiles and carried out against black people by the Gentiles, operating at the word of the papacy. To read it in the Bible, you would see it was they operating at the word of the Lord. Okay, the Lord is a reference to the papacy there and here. The judgment of God is the end of evil. Evil is the basis of the judgment of God. The evil being spoken of now in these last several, including this one, episodes. The judgment of God is the consequence of evil. In the judgment of God, there is a changing of the guard. There's a change of power. Listen, the judgment of God is Ezra 9:13, and I'm getting ready to close these things up, close this up. Ezra 9:13. Okay. The judgment of God is I'll read the verse. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. But the point is here, this. The judgment of God is because of the Gentiles' evil deeds and their great trespass that I have been speaking of in the last several episodes. My finding, Genesis 44:5. Genesis 44:5. Or this is their finding, their conclusion, that ye have done evil in so doing. The line of complaint by the plaintiff, and we have the complaint, and we have the answer from the defendants. Those are the papacy and the Gentiles. Their conclusion is this: ye have done evil in so doing. In so doing, what? Invading Africa, conquering Africa and its inhabitants, gathering them, enslaving them, oppressing them, et cetera, persecuting them, slaughtering them. Ye have done evil in so doing. Genesis 44:5. Genesis 44:16. What has happened? What have I done? It says this: God has found out the iniquity of his servants. Now the statement actually reads this: God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. They are talking to me in this statement. God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Okay. Exodus 5:23. Finding, conclusion. He, the papacy, has done evil to this people. What evil has he done? He has set down and given to the Gentiles the evil of the law of the curse. Okay? Which was carried out in detail, line by line, in detail, by the Gentiles. In light of the plaintiff's line of complaint, it is concluded that the papacy and its partners, the Gentiles, Jeremiah 9:3, okay, they proceed from evil to evil. And we can see that, as I said, in light of the plaintiff's line of complaint, it is concluded that the papacy and the Gentiles, his partners, have proceeded from evil to evil, from one evil action to the next, from the invasion to the conquering, to the enslaving, to the holding in captivity, to the scattering, to the slaughtering. From evil to evil, they have proceeded from evil to evil. They, the Gentiles, and those of the papacy, have proceeded from evil to evil. With the setting forth or setting down of the curse, and with the setting down of the curse or the writing out of the curse, the papacy has set for itself, or set itself and those of the, and all other Gentiles, a slippery slope. They have set for themselves a slippery slope, wherein they proceed from evil to evil. To the plaintiff and his people, the legal finding, Genesis 50:17. Okay, Genesis 50:17. The judgment is to the black people. They did to the evil. They did evil to you. Okay, that's the finding for the plaintiff and his people. The law says to the Gentiles, Genesis 50:24, God will surely visit you. Jeremiah 44:22. Jeremiah 44:22. Okay. Genesis, the statement in Genesis 50:24 said, to the Gentiles, God will surely visit you. The question is, why? Why will God surely visit the Gentiles? That is answered in Jeremiah 44:22. Because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed. 1 Peter 3:12. When we consider the judgment of God, when we consider the law of God that I have talked about earlier in earlier broadcasts or episodes, 1 Peter 2:12, the Lord is against them that do evil. There has been a turnabout. The Lord is against them that do evil. Now this Lord right here, but let's just leave it like that, as said. The Lord is against them that do evil. God will visit the Gentiles. God has and is visiting the Gentiles, and God is also visiting his people. But why? Why is he visiting the Gentiles? It says clearly, because of the evil of their doings and because of their abominations. They have done evil to black people. They have committed abominations against black people. The Lord is against them that do evil. Mr. Welch, that is the lecture for today. That ends the lecture for today. Are you there?
Yes, sir. And another wonderful broadcast. We have two other callers on the line at this time. If you would like to enter into the discussion, you may raise your hand and we can bring you in at any time.
Okay.
Going back to what you stated, there's a few things you stated. Going from evil to evil, mm-hmm. That's a very profound statement coming from the Bible. Mm-hmm. Knowing history, There are many examples of the Gentiles going from evil to evil, dating all the way back to even 4,000 years ago when they were conquered the Indians in India, the Brahmins, of course, the Nile Valley, with the Romans, the Macedonians, and so on and so forth. So there is all one has to do is pick up the King James Version and then verify it with other history books that have been written. I myself have seen this carried out in writings. But one other thing I wanted to mention is people might have a problem with you calling Gentiles evil, Mr. Hart, you know. But, you know, I say that in light. But it is true. If you look at the history of the papacy and the Gentile nation, it is wrought with violence and deceit. And again, you see the evidence of it today. We have been defamed as a people as a result of the legal document of the papacy and the Gentile nation. So even 1800s, when the Gentiles started to realize the slave trade was successful, they began to go to work with the pen, writing the fallacy of our inferiority and their superiority through scientific study, anthropology, and all of it is a complete defamation of African people. So I just wanted to throw that in there. And this is definitely a reality, and that has been carried out on us. So you know, this, like I said again, great broadcast. I feel like I've learned a lot today.
Okay, good work.
And we do have a caller in queue with their hand up. Which would you like for us to bring this person in at this time?
Of course.
Okay. Caller with area code 916, your hand is up, so I'm bringing you in. You are now on the air.
Greetings, Lord. Greetings, Mr. Welch. Can I be heard?
Yes, Ken.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
How are you?
I'm still learning, sir. I thought it was an excellent broadcast, and I, too, learned a lot today. So, and I just wanted to touch on or remind people of the fact that, according to the AVB, they admit, they confess to being wicked, according to the teachings of Mr. Hart. So I think you've touched on that a number of times through Scripture.
Yes. Yes, and that's a good point. And it's not me calling them evil, it's the Bible. It's them calling themselves evil in the Bible. The papacy makes a statement about itself and its people. It says, I and my people are wicked. You know, so if I call them wicked, I'm calling them wicked on the basis of what they say about themselves. And if I say they are evil, like in today's broadcast, the Scripture says they are evil. The Scripture says their doings are evil and they have committed abominations. And the Scripture says you have done evil to this people. You, the Gentiles and the papacy, have done evil to African people in enslaving them, taking them out of their own land, taking their own land, and everything else, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's the Bible. They state in the Bible that they are evil and they are wicked. So we need to keep that out there, that this is what they say. Okay, and the judgments that I render, I show the judgment set forth in the Bible against themselves. The statement says about God, it says he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And that's what I'm doing. I'm showing judgment. I show judgment. I show the judgment that they have meted out for themselves. Isn't that something?
Absolutely.
So it doesn't come as a surprise to the Gentiles, because they know what's in the Bible. They know it's there.
Yeah. Going back in mentioning Acts 17, verse 3, you touched upon where it stated Jesus is Christ. This is what they preach, and this is what they teach, that Jesus is Christ. If you look at many of the photos of Jesus that we've had in the past and today as well, regardless of what they say, we know we're teaching that the truth is that Jesus is a character who did not exist. If I'm correct, that what we've been taught is Jesus is Christ, but also in looking at many of the photos that have been up in our homes and in our churches, it would appear that he is also a Gentile. And many people are... I'm sorry?
I say yes, that is, for the most part, that I've seen is a Gentile picture.
Yes. That is what they teach us, that Jesus is Christ, and then they show us that he is a Gentile. Now, Gentiles themselves say they are wicked. So what I'm concluding is that if Jesus is Christ and Jesus is a Gentile, then Jesus is also of the group of people who say themselves they are wicked, they are evil. Yes, I want your thoughts on that, sir.
Yeah. We must keep in mind from the day's broadcast that they are, in the day's broadcast, what happened is they admit to teaching black people that Jesus is the Christ. They don't say that. They taught them the truth. They admit to, they confess. That means a confession is to, speak of a fault, admit a fault. That's a fault. They have a fault of teaching other people that Jesus is the Christ, which implies that they know well that Jesus is not the Christ, but that's what they teach other people, black people included. Okay? So there you have deception, false teaching. Okay? But they confess to that. That's the confession what they did today. They confess a fault. And that fault is what? Teaching that Jesus is the Christ. That's a fault.
That is huge.
They confess to.
And a demonstration of their wickedness.
Yeah.
That is gigantic, because I know we don't touch on this, but just again, many people know about the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, where the 300 bishops got together in an ecumenical conference while Constantine was emperor of that day, to create a character by the name of Serapis, who was later changed to Jesus. And if you try to do research on this Serapis character online, you will not find any information on this person. So, again, Mr. Hart, this is monumental that you are able to go into the King James Version of Bible content and pull out this truth, and that it is right there. So I just want to let the listening audience know that this is nothing to skate over. So anyone else have any comments, questions?
Any other hands raised, anything?
Well, we have one other caller in the queue, but that person's hand is not up. Tell you what, I'll unmute the mic anyway, just in case. The caller with area code 803, if you have comments or questions, you may speak now. Your mic is open.
Yes, I was just listening. A pretty good show.
Hello there.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. It was a pretty good lesson today, but One of the things that I was thinking about when I listened to the lecture is the fact that our people are so lost. I was visiting friends last night because one of my close friends passed away, and I asked his mother how she's doing, and she said, "Well, only Jesus keeps me." So, I mean, how can I say this? I'm not sure exactly how I can say this. I felt sorry for her, but then I thought about the fact that, you know, it's kind of discerning that Black people think that this is their only salvation. That's the only thing that they're, the fact that they were taught that a fictitious character is keeping them from grief or strife. And it's just mind-boggling how this kind of propaganda can actually convince people that they're going to do okay simply because of a character that was taught to, that they were taught was going to save them, you know? So, right. I mean, and I thought about that while you were teaching your lesson, and it's just a matter of, I think a lot of people seek the truth, and there are those that do not want to know the truth, even if you give them an inkling of it. And a part of me did not want to interrupt her certain kind of peace, but then in a way I really felt sad that, you know, she felt as if that was her only salvation. So,
right. I understand what you're saying, which, I mean, I encounter that myself, you know what I'm saying, when I hear like people speak of Jesus as though he's a real character, this and that.
Yes.
And what we did today, what I did today in the broadcast is I showed the basis of that. The basis of that is that that teaching came from those who enslaved us, those who hated and despised us, those who oppressed and persecuted us, and they still do to this very day. You know what I'm saying? I do feel sorry when I hear Black people speak like you have, like you just said, and they're just speaking about Jesus, because I know that they don't know the truth. I know that they are deceived, and sometimes you just allow yourself not to say something. You know what I'm saying? Because of the mood or the time or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You did well. I mean, you did well in that. And I guess, you know, we'll all experience that, you know, as we learn the truth and we get into the truth and we see how, as you said, our people, the masses of our people, are deceived. And again, that's why the information is so important, and that is why we need to, you know, share the information with our loved ones, friends. Even if you have an enemy, share it with them, you know. Matter of fact, I did that one time. There was a guy that hated me. After I finished high school, you know, I went off to school, you know, and went in the service, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying. I went back home, and I saw the guy at the grocery store. And I was wondering what I was going to do, because he was the fighting kind, and I'm not the fighting kind. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he had put out word, you know, during my senior year in high school and afterwards, you know, among, you know, some people that he was going to kill me. And so when I saw him at the grocery store, you know, I wasn't going to run from him or anything, you know. And we were pretty, you know, in pretty close proximity of one another, of each other. So I don't know. He approached me because he didn't have a car, and I was driving. So he came over to the car after I got in the car. And I said, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is he going to say or what is he going to do, you know? And he said, you going home? Because we didn't live far from each other, you know. I said, yeah, I'm going home. He knew where I lived and all like that, you know. And I knew where he lived. So I said, yeah. I said, you need a ride? He said, yeah. So he put his stuff in the car. And I took off, you know, to take him home. And we started talking, and actually, now I was believing in Jesus at that time. And I told him, and I began to tell him, you know, my life has changed. I've given my life to Jesus, this and that, and all like that. And he seemed to have become interested in that. And he said, yeah, and started asking me questions and all. And so anyway, long story short, we had a nice conversation, and he got out. He said, I'll see you later. And I said, okay, I'll see you later. And of course, I never did see him again, because when I went back to Chattanooga, where I was living at the time, Chattanooga, Tennessee, I got word that he had been killed and all like that. But the point is that when I said, even if you have an enemy, tell the enemy if you get a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But
you know, the funny thing about it is that even if you do have an enemy, and you mentioned the fact that you are saved and you have Jesus in your life, the thing about that is that people tend to back away from that. You know, they don't want to actually have any conflict with you. You know, you're okay now because you have Jesus. So that in a way to them in their mentality kind of validates the fact that you are righteous now, simply because you associate yourself with having Jesus in your life. And that's just a part of the mentality that we have now as well, you know. Whereas I remember years ago, I used to work at a place, and I used to work at night. So we used to order food. The employees used to order food, and, you know, the people from the restaurant would come and deliver our food. So one of the women, she said to me, she said, I'm going to give you, you know, my money so that I can pay for, so that you can pay for the food for me. And I said, okay. She said, well, you're a good Christian, you know, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. So when she said, you know, when I said that, she snatched her money back.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying? She was a good Christian, but she was one of the dirtiest women around there. See what I'm saying? So the fact that people would use that as a bait to get people to trust them is something else as well.
Right. Now, when I said that, you know, of course, you know, later on, you know, after that, you know, I changed and I began to come into the knowledge of the truth of Bible content and all like that. You know, where, so I renounced Jesus and I renounced Christianity and all like that. But at that time, you know, I don't know whether he really believed in it. You know, he seemed like he did, you know, because I was telling him, I said, you could be saved, this and that, and all like that. You know, whereas now my conversation is, you know, you can come to the knowledge of the truth of Bible content, you know.
Yeah.
That's about it on that.
And another thing I want, and I think back, you know, I grew up in the church, and, you know, my family's a really large family, and I'm the youngest of, you know, in my family. So they would actually post me before I go to church. Don't ask no crazy questions, because everything that didn't make sense to me in the Bible, I would question. And the main thing about black people is that they'll say, don't question God, or you just have to have faith. You know, they don't have any answers now. Nothing
because
that can
that's
be explained.
What they teach in religion. Uh-huh.
That's correct. That's correct.
Right.
Now, I'm a confused six-year-old that's going to church and don't even know why. You know? So.
Yeah, because you can't question God, or you can't question anything about God, you know?
That's correct.
Which implies, you know, you can't question anything about religion.
That's correct. But one thing, you know, you really made a good point when you were talking about, you know, Judgment Day. I believe Judgment Day is here. And the Gentiles are being judged for their wrongdoings.
Absolutely.
So people have it in their mind that the Judgment Day, everybody's going to be lined up and, you know, and
right,
God is going to be, you know, they have this fictitious event in their mind that everybody's going to be lined up waiting to be judged to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
You know?
You hit that right on the head. This is the day of judgment. I've said that on a broadcast before. Matter of fact, more than one time. I don't know whether you've heard it or not. But, yeah, we are living in the day of judgment. As I alluded to at the end of my lecture, you know what I'm saying? And I'm showing the judgment that is levied against the Gentiles, that they have levied against themselves, you know. And the law of God, I don't know how much of that you've heard, but the law of God is a consequence of the evil doings of the Gentiles.
Wow.
But this is the day of judgment. And the Gentiles are supposed to carry out the terms of the judgment. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
They ought to carry out the terms of the judgment. And that's what the law of God is all about. What I've done on this broadcast is I set forth the judgment first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I, you know, in the past episodes of this dealing with the plaintiff and his complaint, then I have show the cause of the judgment. What brings about the judgment? Why the judgment? The why and the wherefore of the judgment of God. So I did it. Not that I did it backward, and some may say I did it backward, but it doesn't matter which way you do it. You know what I'm saying? I've shown the judgment, and lastly, I show the cause of the judgment and what that judgment is. I mean, I show the cause because I showed what the judgment is before I went into the part of showing why the judgment. You see?
May I interject?
Yes.
I think Gentiles know that they are living in a day of judgment as well. I firmly believe that, and I see it in various reports, one being James Wolfensohn, who was the former president of the World Bank, gave an address recently to some of the his students that the economy of the world is going through a tectonic shift from the West to the East. And that the per capita middle class income of the Asians will rise to between $30,000 to $40,000 per year, and that Europe and America will go through a contracted collapse. It would be brought down degree by degree, which is taking place right now. And what they're doing is alerting the top people in Europe and America that, okay, you know, it's time for us to shift our wealth over to the West. And that is exactly what he has done. And he is calling out for the people who are paying attention to do so as well. But I think that Europe, many millions of Europeans and Americans are going to suffer from time to come, which verifies what I've come to realize, you know, several years ago, that the judgment is for Europeans and Americans, because they're the only people that are talking about a day of doom. You're not hearing this day of doom coming out of Africa, South America, the Far East. They're, you know, India. No one's talking. It's never been a period where they're talking about a day of judgment. Only amongst the Gentiles are they talking about a day of judgment. And in light of this information, I think that it is becoming much more clear that this is actually happening, and we can see that it's taking place.
Okay, but keep in mind that the judgment of God has specific elements in it that the Gentiles
mm-hmm.
must
yes.
and specific elements that greatly affect the. The Gentiles, specific elements in it, and stipulations, etc., you know, that must come upon the Gentiles, and they know these things because they know what's in their own holy book, you know, the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So they know these things, and yes, they have been preparing for some time, you know, for the day of judgment, because they know that it is inevitable, and sometimes I wonder about that statement that the judgment of God is inevitable, because the only way it could come back, the only way it could come forth is by one doing and bringing forth the things that I bring forth. That's the only way the judgment of God can come back upon them. So, but what is truth? We are in the day of judgment already. And, you know, the Bible spells out the terms of the judgment that they must bear. It spells them out. And, of course, as I said earlier, I have set forth those things in previous broadcasts. One thing, the great thing about it is the shift in power. All their power, all Gentile power, is to be taken away and given to the one. Matter of fact, it is already taken away, but it's to be it must be realized, you know what I'm saying, in life, you know, it must be a reality. But their power has been taken away from them and given to the one that the Bible calls God. And we know that the one the Bible calls God is not something up in the sky somewhere, but it's an individual in flesh and skin and blood, you know what I'm saying, that meets the qualifications of God set forth in the AVB.
I like that statement you just made, that the power is already shifting out of their hands. I know we spoke in a conversation earlier in the week when I mentioned that today's show did an expose on the Vatican the entire morning. They showed video footage of St. Peter's Square and the daily activities of the Pope, Pope Benedict XVI. And for me, it removed this enigmatic persona that I wouldn't say I had, but for me, it put the Pope on Earth. It put him in. It shows us that this person is just he's a human being, just like the rest of us. He's fallible, and so therefore, this whole aura that's put on about the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican, it's time to remove that and let them know that what they've built and what they're about is totally obsolete, and it's time to have a changing of the guard, because as you say, the judgment of God is upon them for their transgressions, and rather than whether they acknowledge it or not, we have a duty to ensure that transition continues in a smooth pattern, and that it's done. And we're looking for committed individuals to help to spread the word and wake people up, the descendants of Africa. Let them know that it's time to break the chains of this old world and way of thinking, because as you see, it's happening around the world as we speak anyhow, and we need to get our people and get on board.
Oh yeah, excellent. How much time we have?
We have approximately 11 minutes left in the show.
Okay. If anyone else wants to speak, they can. But let me say this first, that what I want you to keep in mind about today's program is that the short tracing, or the tracing that I did of the black people's faith with regard to Jesus, the Gentiles admit that to be a fault of theirs, in teaching a fictitious character to be the Christ. And by it, they have deceived many, many people. And that actually confirms what I've said, what I've been saying all along about Jesus being a fictitious character, although that's taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I don't think I've taught in detail on that on this Law Master's Law of God program. But I've just made, statements with, concerning it. But let's keep that in mind, that the Gentiles confess to that fault in the Bible that they teach, and they have taught, and they continue to teach that Jesus is the Christ. Now, they say one thing, which I haven't brought forth this statement. They say that they cannot forbear. Now, what does that mean? They say they cannot forbear. That statement means that they, for whatever reason, they cannot stop the outward teaching of Jesus, maybe because of embarrassment or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, of course, that is, but they say that God will stop that. And of course, I have in an earlier, much earlier episode, I have canceled the law of Passover. And in that law of Passover, there's a part in there where the Gentiles are commanded to stop or quit teaching that evil teaching that Jesus is God, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is the Lord. And the Gentiles are to conform to that commandment and carry out that commandment. And also with the banning, but yeah, also in that there's a statement wherein the teaching of Jesus is actually banned. So the Gentiles must fulfill that commandment, or they must conduct themselves according to that ban. They must conform to that ban. What else? Anything else?
Yes, if I may add, in we've had this discussion before. If we do these things for Christianity, then the other two major religions, Judaism and Islam, will go by the wayside as well. Because many will say that even more than Jesus Christ, Moses is the major influence. And but we know that Moses also is a fictitious character, and as well as Paul. In the Christian faith, 97% of what is taught in the Christian church comes from the Apostle Paul. What are your sentiments on Apostle Paul, Mr.
Now, what you mean when you say that is, if your stats are right, that 97% of the teaching of the letters in the New Testament are attributed to Paul.
Yes.
That may be so, and it may not be so, but whatever. The case is, as I've said before, it's not the character that is important in Bible content. It's what is being said that is of the essence. And that there's a disregard of characters, except for when it speaks of God, the Gentiles, the papacy, of course, black people, but just the names like John, Isaiah, Moses, Jesus, all like that, those one-named characters are just that, characters. You know, they are not the main or principal part of the crucial matter of Bible content. It's what the characters are saying, because the characters, for the most part, are fictitious. Even if one wants to say the character Paul.
Yes.
It's not the character, but it's the content coming, the content appearing to be as spoken by the character. It's the content that is important. And in the content, we have the law, whether it be with regard to the law of God, the law of Passover, the law of the papal curse against black people. Those are three major parts of Bible content. Those three things: law of God, law of silence, which is the law of Passover, and the law of the curse against black people. Now, can any of you, if all of you are still there, can any of you name one more major piece of Bible content?
You're asking us to name?
Yeah, can any one of you name what would be considered a fourth major part of Bible content? And when I say major, that means having a lot of information on it.
In terms of a law or?
Anything.
Anything? Well, I would say
anything
the...
is major.
If if I understand the question correctly, I would pull out the law of the curse.
Okay, I said that. I said you have the law of God, the law of the curse, and the Passover law. Those are three major laws of Bible content. Can anyone name another major? It may be a law, it may not be a law, but can anyone name another major component of Bible content?
So we have the law of God, the law of the curse, the law of Passover.
Would it be the writ on all things?
That's an important document, but it's not major in the sense that those three that I named are major.
We have 3 minutes left in the show. I'm going to see if I can come up with this fourth one. How about the promises of God?
That's an important piece of legislation, but it doesn't have a whole lot of content.
Okay.
When I tell you, you're probably going to say, oh. It is that with which I have been dealing with the past several weeks. It's the plaintiff and his complaint.
Okay.
And it's evident in the amount of time that I'm giving to it. I think this is the sixth, if not the sixth, it's the seventh, but it's the sixth or seventh week that I've been dealing with it. That's a major piece of Bible content.
And I will definitely put that in my notes as the fourth major concern in the crucial matter. And we have come to the end of the show. We have about a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And thank you, Mr. Hart, for another excellent